Well, Wayne, did you have a good 4th of July? Yep. Yeah,
I
they
forget
did.
what score was. It was kind of bad. 7-2 or 9-2 or something. I was 9-4.
Well,
Which got beat.
the game was relatively close, and then the relief pitcher Morin gave up a grand slam home run, and that kind of finished it off. Well, they got good minor league players.
Yeah, but they've been here 2 or 3 times, and every time they come up, they don't do good.
Yeah,
they get in Triple A, but when they get to the big leagues, some of them guys already been up 3 or 4 times. Duffy's been up 5 times in 2 months.
Yeah.
They ought to get rid of all the minor league staff. If they said they're ready to go, I hope you're getting this recorded. Maybe somebody listen to me. If they have 12 pitchers, and I bet you 10 of them's been up here 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
They got to keep some. They can't take everybody up there right at the same time, because you can't. There's some guys with big contracts. They ain't going to send a guy out just because, like, Aaron or whatever his name is, he's making maybe a couple $1 million. They ain't going to send him out. He's the best pitcher we got. We only got maybe three out of. We got 3 good pitchers and then 2 bad pitchers. And once it gets to the bullpen, they're all bad. BAD.
Yeah, their bullpen has struggled of late, that's for sure. Well, Wayne, you know, I've heard recently of all these guys with long streaks. You know, the Yankee announcer had announced 5,000 straight games or something like that before taking a day off. But you've had a lot of long streaks of your own, haven't you?
Yeah, I went from, I don't count my bad boy jobs. But when I first started, when I was 12 to about 18, you know, when the league folded, when I went to Dallas with the Rangers and the Twins, especially with the Twins, I went from 1963, that's when I joined the organization, 63, to about 2009. I seen every game that we played, all 162 games we played, I think it was. I didn't miss a single game. And I even had cancer, and I didn't miss a game. I went from the hospital to the ballpark.
Wow.
Doc said, no, you can't go. I said, watch me. All I'm going to do, once you cut my stomach and the heart out, I went with Stelly and Gordy. I went back to the house, just changed clothes, and went straight to the ballpark.
Boy, you were really hardcore.
Yeah, well, that's what I say. If I can, I know I ain't a ball player, but I worked hard them days. Like I say, in 25 years in Melbourne, I was by myself with 200 ball players for 30 days. That's a lot of ball players. I was by myself. I was a trainer. Clubhouse man, and keep the beard
cold. Boy, they saved a lot of money by having you do everything.
Yeah, but that was only one paycheck. I even had it in the last year we was in Charlotte. That was 1971. My boss called me Christmas Day. You're the only guy who can do it. I had 2 ball clubs in the clubhouse in Charlotte, a double A and a A team. And I had a game every night. When one team goes on the road, the bus driver, all he does is make sure nobody gets hurt. But then I still didn't miss a game because I stayed back and did the A team. And then when they go on the road, I got to take care of the double-A club. I had a ball game every night.
Wow. That's a lot of work.
That's right. He gave me a raise eventually, but by the time June came, I said, you want that money back? I had enough of this. Both teams were really bad. You don't know how bad it is. They were bad. Both of them finished last.
That's crazy.
And we had more prospects on the A team than we did at double A. We had on the A team we had Rob Wilfong, who played in the big leagues, and the outfielder, he got killed in Milwaukee. Can't think of his name, I should know him. But I think we traded him to Milwaukee in about 1973 or something like that.
Lyman Bostock?
Yeah. I should know that name because he's a pretty good guy. I mean, you know, I had him a year in the minor leagues. And the funny thing about it, we go to the instructional league. He said, I got a pull muscle. I said, we only got three outfielders, and you're the third one. So you got to play hurt.
Yeah, not like it is today.
No, I know. I was hearing the radio today that they was talking about football players and baseball players like Joe Mauer. He took a month off every year for the 10 years he was up there. And they say, oh, players, they get a sore toenail or hangnail, they can't play.
Yeah, I don't know where I read it, but they were talking about Camilo Pasquale back in the early and mid-60s, and when he was in Minnesota, and they said that when he went on the disabled list at least once every year, they said that Pasquale was taking his vacation.
You know, that's what I told Joe Mauer. I mean, I didn't tell him personally, but I heard either June or July, he takes a month off. Sore shoulder, or a hangnail, or a bad cold, or some excuse that he could play through it. When I was in Anaheim, he was there. We just got in. So as soon as I got to Buffalo, I can't play. I'm a bad coach. And we played four games there. We didn't see him at all, except when it's time to check out to come home. I said, Joe, you okay? Yeah. I told the trainer, I said, why didn't you just give him an aspirin or a cold tablet? Yeah, all he had was a bad cough. The trainer said, oh, well, with all that money we give him, it can't be hurt. I said, hell, I've had a lot of ball players in my lifetime. I have a cold, and all I did is take one of these Anacin, aspirin, Bayer, or whatever it is. Say, here's a cold pill, and go get them. Then you can go back to your clubhouse. You can go back and drink. But you can't play the game.
Yeah. So what else, what do you think of how the Twins are doing? What do you think are they going to keep playing good, or are they going to go downhill?
Well, if they're going to get something that helps, you know, help us win it, even though we had a bad road trip, I think we played 500 ball, maybe 407 or whatever it was. But to make a trade, if they're going to get somebody, they need pitching, definitely. Even the manager said we need pitching, relief pitching. But you got to trade something to get something. So, I don't know who they would trade. You ain't going to trade another pitcher because we ain't got a pitcher. Nobody wants that. If we're going to trade a good pitcher, or trade for a good pitcher, you ain't going to give them a piece of crap. You got to give them something. They want something good, too.
Yep.
They want a position player. We either got to get rid of one or two of the hidden teams and hope you can win with a 2-1 game, because you can't throw away some pitchers. I know Gibson might be up on the market, but I don't think nobody's going to take Gibson. He's a 500 pitcher now. If you trade Gibson, if you trade him, you got to get somebody better than Gibson. And they ain't that many. Every team's only got about three good pitchers and relief pitching. It's already proven there's no relievers in the whole major leagues. Go back and see what every team's won. I bet you there's 30 teams. I bet you 15 teams don't have no relief pitcher. They got a body, but no good relievers.
Yeah, it's tough. And relievers, you know, from one year to the next, you just don't know what they're going to do.
and said before, everybody keeps saying, oh, the Twins, Rochester, they come up. They've been up two or three times. Every pitcher Rochester's got has been up at least twice. There might be one or two exceptions. But all I hear was, this guy's coming up, and that guy's going back, and this guy's coming up, and it's like a yo-yo. And if they was that good, they would not. Sure, we broke out good, but then when it comes down to having relief pitchers, you know, the closer, you got to get a closer. There ain't that many good closers in baseball. Even the Yankees struggled. They beat the Red Sox the other day, 17-13, so that tears right there. And the baseball's all they worried about home runs, and some announcer on NBC, they said, what happened in 2-1 games or 3-2 games? Is nobody knows how to bunt. They want to hit home runs. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, you see, like the other day, I think Milwaukee had three straight home runs. Bing, bing, bing. And nobody tries. And the other day, I got a kick out of the Chicago manager, Cub. He charged a Pittsburgh dugout last night. He gets thrown out of the game because Pittsburgh and Joe West wouldn't call them balls. Pittsburgh was throwing the Cubs inside. You know, almost hit them. And usually you get a waiver, you know. They was
a warning
somewhere. Yeah. A warning. But they didn't give a warning. So, and the next thing I knew, Joe Madden was over in the Pittsburgh dugout beating the hell out of the pitcher, the manager. He almost got in there. He was swinging at him, but he didn't hit nothing. And I'm surprised by Clint Hurdle. That had to come from the pitching coach. I don't think Hurdle would do that, you know. Kept throwing in saying, plus, Joe West should have gave somebody a warning, you know.
Yep, yeah.
If you throw three straight balls almost on the inside, we used to can do that, but now you can't do that no more.
Yeah, and you know, the Cubs, they signed Kimbrel, that reliever that was on the market all year until after the draft, and he's been banged around a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I say. I mean, I know the expansion had a lot to do with this, but gee, man, that was, 30 years ago. And you think that the pitchers in college, or I'm not counting high school, you know, you got a long ways to go. Half the guys gets in high school don't make it to the big leagues. You know, I'm number one. You can go back the last 10 years, I'm number one. I think Joe Mauer was about the only number one who really went, with the exception of Torrey Hunter and a couple of them guys. They did. They had a sandwich. In other words, Torrey didn't go at number one. I think he went between one and two. They call it a sandwich pick, whatever they call that in scouts in June.
Yeah, compensation picks and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I mean, Joe Mauer was, and he was a good hitter. I grant you that. But a lot of games that he got hits, but if we're up behind or ahead, he wouldn't get there. I mean, he's always dangerous when he comes up. But he's like Sano. Sano hits the home runs when you're 10 runs ahead or 10 runs behind. And they counted the other day. They said there's been more strikeouts than they have home runs. I think they had 1,000 home runs this year, not just one team, the whole team. And they had about 12 or 1,300 strikeouts.
Yeah, it's players are striking out more, but maybe the hitters are getting, are just catching up with the pitchers, and the pitchers just aren't good as they used to be.
Well, I heard a commercial this morning, some kid going to college or high school. Oh, I got drafted by this team. Oh, and I went to spring training. He didn't tell me it was a commercial, though. But they said, they threw fastballs. Oh, boy, I hit this pitcher. Then I went to AA. Home runs, fastball. But when they started throwing curveballs, he wrote to his mother, says, I'll be home tomorrow.
Yeah, that's pretty
good. They were advertising curveballs.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Just like Sano, if them pitchers was as smart as they was 20 years ago, when they threw Sano curveball, I mean, he does a lot of times. 9 times out of 10, you throw him a curveball, he'll strike out. But then you throw him a fastball, it's downtown.
Yep. Yeah, it's tough to hit those curveballs.
I know, that's right, that's right. Well, like I said, I've talked to Carew, and I know Carew. I've been on Carew for 50-something years, almost 60 years. And I tell them, show them how to bunt. They don't want to bunt. They want to hit home runs. They don't want to bunt. There ain't no money in home runs. I mean, in bunt.
Yeah, everybody's hitting home runs nowadays.
I think the Braves, I think they had 13 runs that night. I think they had 5 home runs. And you would think some of that pitchers would learn by their scout reports. Don't throw certain pitches, but they're the same old pitch. If you tell them, don't throw a fastball, they throw a fastball. It's not going to change.
Well, a lot of people are complaining that it's the baseballs that have changed, and that's why there's so many home runs.
Well, they said that the other day. They said, they put them in a freezer. That's the opposite. When I was in Charlotte, we had a general manager. He kept all the balls in his office in the storage room, where it's cold. Nobody hardly hit any home. I'm not saying they didn't, but when it's warm, the ball goes further when it's warm with the wind and I don't know what the weather is in Minnesota, but if it's a warm night, wind's blowing a little bit, you're going to see more home runs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they're talking, about it's real cloudy here right now, and they're talking about possible rain moving in tonight, so there might be a delay or a postponement, or maybe they'll play. I don't know, but it's looking like it might rain.
Well, I hope they're better than the last guy who makes the decision wait till 9 o'clock at night. The farmers and people up north in Minnesota, they want the game. And I don't care what people say, Bird Bly Levin or anybody, Dick Blimer, they can always holler about rain delays, good weather, we got to get the game in. If they'd played in a dome stadium like they always done, we always played on time. And they, as far as I know, they always, we had good crowds, and then again, we had bad crowds. And people ain't going to come at 5 o'clock, 5:30, and don't start the game at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
That's how you lose people, even though we're playing good. But they got to figure out. Some of them, like the older guys who knows baseball, they ain't going to come the way it's played anyway. Now, the 20 and 25 to 30-year-old, they think this is real baseball. It's not real baseball. I can't make it no clearer. And I've been in the game for 6 years. And I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly.
Well, you mentioned the Metrodome and so forth. What did you think of playing baseball in a dome versus outside?
We won 2 World Series in a dome, so it can't be all that bad. How many World Series have we got in a new stadium? Well, I'll put it this way, how many playoffs have we got into?
Yeah. 0, but everybody wants to be outside instead of in the dome.
Outside after snowing in March or first part of April, that people is in blankets. That's football weather, not baseball weather. Anybody makes a schedule, it's got to be stupid. Anybody in the right mind, even I know it. They got Tampa, they got even Houston, they got the California team. They can fly out to California. I mean, it don't snow, have earthquakes, I grant you that. We can't predict that. But you got Seattle. You got Oakland, you got the Angels, there's 3 teams right there, and you got
there's
Dallas, Texas. Dallas ain't that bad. I mean, you could start a season in Dallas.
Yeah, you could. It's those teams don't want to always be home at the beginning of the season. And the Twins and
Milwaukee ain't bad because Milwaukee's got the dome.
Right? Yeah, Toronto.
Chicago, they could be somewhere. Toronto's got the dome.
Yeah.
The Yankees, even though they're in New York, it hardly snows. I won't say it won't snow, but when they play, when they could play day games, it'd still be 50 or 60 degrees. That still ain't bad. It's better than 25 or 30 degrees.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Well, John,
well, Wayne, the All-Star game is over now. Did you watch the game last night?
I watched maybe a half an inning or something like that. They're talking about the balls are juiced up, because all the home runs. As I was going to say, is they don't understand me when I say it ain't the balls. It's especially home run derby. Home runs was hit. But the idea is, those ain't real pitchers that's pitching to the hitters. It's some high school, coach or something like that. And it's like batting practice. They don't throw hard in batting practice. They just lob the ball up there so they can hit, batting practice. Same during the home run derby. They're giving $1 million for the guy who wins it. But you can hit home runs off them pitchers, Because Tim Lott, about 25 years ago when I had him, he had four home runs four straight times, and the manager from the next club came in the next season. How did he pitch Lott? I said, right down the pipe. I said, you could hit a home run down. I mean, that's not really. When you hit four home runs, four times like Tim Lott did, he's a good hitter. But when you throw the ball right down the pipe, you're going to hit it.
Yeah.
And back in them days, about 82, 83, they don't throw 100 miles an hour. But I like enough they really throw 100 miles an hour now, with these balls, even in the game. Because have you noticed the last three or four months, the guys getting the scores of like 13 to 5 or 12 to 1 or 17 to 16. There's no pitching in baseball. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, if you give up three or four home runs in one inning or two innings, the pitcher don't know how to pitch. You don't keep throwing strikes,
Mm-hmm.
And the manager for Chicago Cubs,
Joe Madden?
I can't think of his name. Joe Madden. Joe Wiss didn't do nothing to Pittsburgh. Guy kept throwing the ball in, and he always, if you throw the ball in, they throw you out of the game. So Joe just got mad, even on the guy, and Joe Wiss had to hold him back. And he said, if you ain't going to do nothing, I will, because you shouldn't throw it. If you can throw somebody, throw somebody out of the game then. Y'all adopted that rule about pitching in, and you don't do nothing about it, Joe. You always want to throw somebody out. How come you don't tell the manager of Pittsburgh, don't throw the ball in, or you get thrown out of the game? You did that to three straight hitters, so I'm going to take it in my own hand. Of course, Joe got thrown out of the game, but that's because he went up to the other dugout, and Joe tried to hold him back. So I'm bigger than you, Joe, is. I can handle myself. You want to go through this city? I don't mind going. They shot the game for about 5 minutes. They showed a rerun that game.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I just seen the rerun, and they talk about different plays in baseball in the last couple of days. They said the Cubs and Pittsburgh got in a little misunderstanding. Well, that's what they call it, misunderstanding. But like I say, when Joe gets mad, he gets mad.
I guess. Well, the Twins, here after the break, they're going to be playing in Cleveland for three games, so that should be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, I didn't know. Next Friday, I think it's Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, where they go to Cleveland and back home or what?
Yeah, I think I'm not too sure what they're going to do after Cleveland. Let's whip out the old schedule here. Looks like they play, let's Yeah, they're in Cleveland.
I'm
Then
not
they
sure.
go on to Detroit before coming home to. No, I'm
Detroit,
in
yes,
the
that's
wrong
right.
month. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They play Cleveland, then they get a day off, and then they come home and play the Yankees for two games.
They've been to Detroit at least two or three times already. I know they play, 10 games there and 10 games here, something like that. And I didn't know what the schedule was.
Yeah, it looks like they play the Yankees at home, and then they got A's, Oakland's in town, and then after that they go on the road to the Yankees again.
They go to the Yankees again or the Mets?
No, I think
Because
it's.
they only go to the Yankees one time. They already been there. And the Yankees beat us for two out of three games in New York.
Boy, I'm having trouble reading the schedule. Let me try again. Okay. After Cleveland, they come home. They play the Mets for two games. I'm sorry. Then they have Oakland. Then they have the Yankees for three games.
Yankees at home, or yeah, Yankees at
Yeah,
home, yeah.
home, yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yep.
By that time, August will be in about 3 more weeks. So
Yeah.
I guess they'll only go home one more time in July, then they go on the road in August or something like that. Going back to all these places that's got, like I told you, umpire. He had 5,000 in games before he took a day off. I don't know how many years. And then announcer for the Yankees, he had about 5,000 or 6,000. I said, "Hey, I've done this 50 years. I've had 9,000, maybe 10,000 games. I kept up with it until my buddy passed away, and it was about 9,900 or something. So that was 2 years ago. So I got over 10,000 games.
Wow.
Counting the spring training and every part of the game, double A, triple A, since 1952.
That's a lot of baseball games.
And then, like I said, I took care of 2,000 ball players, the last 50 years, with the Twins, 280 here and every spring. You lose some, but then you still pick up some. So I've got about 10,000 people, or so 2,000 ball players in my lifetime. Because every time I see them in the big leagues, I said, "I've known you ain't for 20 years."
Well, yeah, and you've pretty much done it all, haven't you? You started as a
I
bat
have
boy.
ever since I've been a bat boy. Even though I was a bat boy, I still got paid $1. That's for you're a professional. Once you get that $1 deal, it's ball player, you're a bat boy. That's still professional. So, like I say, I've served 66 years in baseball.
Man, that's.
And 90% of the time I was by myself, even in Orlando, especially when I joined the Twins organization, I was old enough to be by myself, go to school. This means on the road and at home, too.
Yeah.
140 straight days of playing.
That's hard to take care of all those jobs and, do it day after day. There's no weekends off.
Get rained out, but then you're still at the ballpark. You don't get rained out until 7 o'clock at night.
Yep.
Even the also like we used to play. We'd only have one day off, in the minor leagues, because like I say, you get one day off for the All-Star game, and that's it. Now they, of course, the big leagues you get three or four days off, but in the minor leagues you only get one day off.
That's amazing that they only get so little time off, but they got to get a lot of games in a short time, I guess.
And then another thing too, when you're in the bus league, some of them towns is a 10-hour bus trip. You leave a town in Knoxville to go back to, I think, go from Evansville, Indiana, back to Charlotte, which was in our league. That was in the 80s. that was an 18-hour bus trip. And you live off the bus half a month, you get tired.
Yeah, I suppose. Did you guys take any trains or anything?
No, that's the last time I've known about a train. Was about 1954, we decided to take a train from Mobile to New Orleans, but I didn't get to go because I was in school. But they did. I made one road trip when the school was out, and they took me up to New Orleans, Mobile, but we was in the bus. But they did travel. They spent 1 year in a train lead, they, you know, left. It wasn't shorter. Most of the trains that they took to go to Atlanta or Knoxville was about a train that leaves like midnight, but it wouldn't get in at 10 o'clock in the next morning. Then once you get off and had to play the game that night. I mean, the train's good, but you still gotta, once you leave, you have to hustle. Because if you got a 7 o'clock game, you don't usually get through about 9 to 10. The time you shower and get to the train station, it's the train got there.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense.
But it was good. Like I say, I've traveled by everywhere in my 60 years. Bus, airplane, a truck. When our bus broke down, we had to get a U-Haul. I've traveled by everywhere except, like you said, a train. But it was still, a bus is about worse than getting on a train. I'd rather get on a train than get on a bus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I had a rough... I loved it, but it was still rough when you don't get much sleep on, even on the bus. You go 10, 12 hours on the bus.
That's... I don't know how you handle that, because when we were up on an Alaska trip, we'd get on the bus for... 6-8 hours, but we'd stop quite a bit, you know, to look at this or look at that, and that was still, plus we stopped to eat, it wasn't quite like your bus trips, and ours had air conditioning and everything.
Yeah, we didn't have a bathroom on a bus. You had to do it and turn out the window. till we stop at the truck stop.
Yeah.
You're talking about eating. When you leave Memphis going to Orlando or Knoxville going to Charlotte or something, when you eat, you stop up at McDonald's and get to go. Because when you got a 12-hour bus trip, you can't afford to sit there and eat and play the next day at home. In other words, it's an 11, 12-hour bus trip. You're losing hours by eating,
yeah.
It's a slow eating, so we said, when you get your hamburger, we say, get it to go, well, we got it now, we can eat it here, while the line's going. I said, well, no, just get to go, so we don't want to leave you boys home.
Yeah, that's
because
nuts.
Because once you get on that bus, we ain't going to count you, better be on that bus. I will pick you up on the next road trip.
Yeah, it's not an easy life in the minor leagues, that's for sure.
We did that in Orlando. Now, Charlie Manuel was managing us. When we said midnight, we met midnight. We took off, we got to the next town. We got to Memphis, I think it was, from Orlando to Memphis. The funny thing, I got in and the guy said, wait. Your general manager called you from Orlando, so I called him. I said, what's wrong? What time y'all supposed to leave? I said, why? You left three guys here. I said, when we say midnight, we don't count. We look at Charlie's watch, and if it says midnight, I said, want me to count? Nope. If they ain't here, they'll catch the next bus, a city bus, stuff like that. So that's what I told my general manager. When we say midnight, we don't mean 1 minute after.
Yeah,
that's happened to me a couple of times. But that's what we had a manager, in Charlotte, and the guy put the suitcase on the bus, and I said, hey, this guy's getting on the bus. Nope. And I said, 11 o'clock, I'm there at 11 o'clock. He can get in his car and drive to Birmingham. That's what they did. They beat us to Birmingham. We had a couple of guys. They drove all the way from Charlotte to Birmingham. They beat us. They said, what took you so long? I said, we stopped to eat.
We don't
take no food. In my life, I used to count them. I could count them because they always hit up on it. They hit, you know, they hide up in the back of the luggage rack, and I count them. I said, I'm always going short. And I said, well, if he ain't here, there's somewhere. I've got 10 guys that can play the game.
Boy, you guys were tough on them.
Well, they had to be tough in them places. No wonder I'm 79 going on 109 because I must, like I said, in Melbourne for 25 years. I went to the heck in spring training because one guy, I took care of 180 guys. I was a trainer and clubhouse man, loaded up the stuff with the meat and, you know, at lunchtime. You know, beer and Coke, you know, this icebox. And I was by myself. I had to clean up the clubhouse and everything. Fix the balls and bats for them. And like I say, one time, last year in Orlando. No, last year in Charlotte, one time. Now, last year, my boss says, you're the only guy who can make it work. I said, what do you mean? You're going to have two ball clubs in the same ballpark, same clubhouse. In Charlotte, when you get there, you're going to be at home to take care of two ball clubs, and when you go, the bus stop is going to take care of all you have to do is make sure everybody's got a band-aid. We didn't have a disabled. If you hurt, we just say, hit the road. And we didn't have a disabled. If you hurt, you just hurt. You got to play if you hurt.
Yep. Tough life. Let me.
Oh,
go ahead.
I had a tough life. It took me 20 years to get to the. About 40 years to get to the big leagues. That's because I lost my eyesight. Caroline and Gordy said, we need you up here. I said, okay.
What took you so long?
Yeah, that's a tough. Every year, when especially the instruction, all these scouts come in and says, well, you're doing a good job. You ought to be in the big leagues. I said, tell that to my boss.
Yep.